Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loright. Well, coming up later in the program, we'll talk about the debate that began yesterday and went overnight about impeaching President Trump. We'll talk about that later in the hour. But first, access to health care in the U.S. is a problem, especially for people in rural areas. There's an effort in Tallahassee to increase the number of practitioners by allowing nurse practitioners to independently provide basic medical care. Florida is one of more than two dozen states that prevents nurse practitioners from offering care independently from physicians. Today in the U.S., there are about 270,000 nurse practitioners caring for millions of people annually. In rural areas, there's a primary care physician shortage. More than 85% of NPs are trained in primary care areas, including pediatric, adult, and geriatric care, critical to the health of aging baby boomers. NPs also treat patients on things like women's health, veterans, those fighting opioid use disorder, patients living with HIV, and many others. Last week in Tallahassee, the House Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee approved a bill, HB 607, it would allow independent nurse practitioners in the state. The measure has been a longtime priority for nurses, as well as the bill's sponsor, Republican Kerry Pigman of Sebring. We're joined now by two local nurse practitioners, Jean Urchker and Janet Dubois. Both hold a doctorate of nursing practice. Jean Urchker and Janet Dubois, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's start by describing what a nurse practitioner is or does.
Sure. Rob, the nurse practitioner role started in 1965 in University of Colorado as a way to augment the needed resources to provide primary care and pediatric care to patients in rural areas predominantly. Our founder of the role of the nurse practitioner was Dr. Loretta Ford, and she brought it into the university system because there you could have academic control and teach nurses, advanced nurses, particularly public health nurses at that time, how to do essential critical evaluations, assess a patient, and also to prescribe and treat when necessary. The role needed to be advanced because we had such a shortage of physicians at the time, but it was also not only this physician shortage at the time, but the need for nursing to use their skills that they've been educated and trained to do. So today's nurse practitioner has a graduate degree and has had for several years mandated and national certification, and many are going on for their doctorate degrees. Both Janet and I hold a doctorate degree in nursing practice.
How long does it take to achieve that status, nurse practitioner? How many years of training?
For many nurse practitioners, again, the graduate degree would be post-baccalaureate, so that's at least 6 years there, and then another 2 years perhaps for the DNP role. But we also have to remember that many nurse practitioners take the route of starting their career and then building on to their education as they develop years and years of experience and expertise in that advanced role in order to move into the nurse practitioner role.
And that hands-on experience can't be discounted. That's really an important part of knowing your job.
That's part of our mentorship and development as a nurse, I think. And that's what makes nurse practitioners have that both medical skills that we need to assess patients and make diagnoses and that, interpret tests, but also that nursing side, that we know how to take care of them when they are sick and can offer more to the role. And I think that's why persons out there will choose a nurse practitioner for their healthcare provider, because you get the best of two worlds.
So tell me what's happening in the legislature. What are you trying to achieve in the state legislature this session?
Well, we have a bill put forward by Senator Pigman, Representative Pigman, and Senator Oliva, and that is to allow nurse practitioners to practice to their full scope of education and training. So it would eliminate the need, basically eliminate the need for us to have a protocol with a supervising physician.
So you could establish an office, for instance? Is that what...
Yes, but we can do that now. We just have to get a supervising physician to agree to that. And in many cases, we have to pay that supervising physician for supervision. So it kind of adds on to the cost of the healthcare we deliver. But with that said, we still deliver cost-efficient healthcare at a lower cost than a physician would do.
So right now, does the nurse practitioner have to check in with a doctor every time the nurse practitioner sees a patient? And do they have to kind of make sure that what they've done for the last 15 minutes or so has the MD's okay?
I think when the role first initiated back in the 60s and early 70s, that was the expectation. But as the role has developed, like all roles, the independence of the nurse practitioner is where we see it today. Rarely, I owned a business, a nurse practitioner practice for 22 years, and rarely did I need to consult with or call upon the protocol physician. If I did need assistance, I generally would defer to a specialist where I found something wrong with the patient and needed to consult. And that's how the rest of medicine works. So the idea that the supervising physician is directly supervising us is inaccurate. We are independent in our roles now. It's just that the laws have not been modernized, and House Bill 607 by Representative Pigman will allow that to happen and open up the doors for patients to have patient choice again.
Tell me, just going back to what a nurse practitioner is, so right now with a nurse practitioner, with a supervising physician, what kind of things happen in that office? What kind of, when somebody comes in, what are they, typically what are they seeking? What kind of help?
Well, we provide primary care and specialty care depending on the role of the nurse practitioner, just like any other healthcare provider. So if they walk into your office, they see you just like they would any other health care provider. And the role of the supervising physician in this state is really just to sign a protocol. And most supervising physicians don't see the patient. There's no statutory requirement for the physician to see the patient, be within a certain distance of the nurse practitioner, sign off or review charts. The only supervisory requirement is that they sign a protocol with you. And in that protocol, they delineate what sort of activities you can do. And most of them are very broad, one, two pages, and they indicate that you can treat anything you're trained or educated for. You can prescribe all classes of pharmaceuticals. And now that we have controlled substances also, that you can prescribe controlled substances.
So what difference would it make in the lives of Floridians if this bill were to pass, and that if nurse practitioners were allowed to practice independently?
I think the biggest thing would be the access to care issue. If you're new to Florida, and 1,000 people come a day to move to Florida, they will find that getting set up with a new provider may take you several months to get an appointment. That's reality. They can also open up more clinics. We're looking at our rural health. There's not much more room that we can move in our urban areas and bring more people. So we're seeing a great fuss of patients moving out into the rural areas. There's nothing there. And we cannot just wait for those roads and housing developments to be there before we have medical care ready for them. So we're looking at a shortage of physicians in Florida by the year 2025. And if we're not going to have that supplement, and look how long it takes to train a physician, we can be out there as nurse practitioners helping patients have access to care.
So rural areas like Wauchula and Sebring and Waimama and Bartow that aren't necessarily big cities might have this problem of access to a physician or access to a nurse practitioner.
That's true.
And actually, the majority of Florida counties have some rural component to them, even the one with large cities in them. So for instance, I come from Bradenton, Sarasota area, which are lovely little cities or big towns, but everything around there is rural. There's no services provided for the most part.
And is that because doctors prefer to, if you've got an MD or a DO, that you prefer to practice in a big city?
I couldn't really speak to that because I think that's a personal choice of a physician, but I can tell you that there's not a lot of established physician practices out in the rural areas. And the trend now is for large corporations to own the physician practices. And so, it's a lot of it is about what can be afforded in what makes financial sense for those corporations.
So how many years have you been trying to get nurse practitioners their independence? How many years has this effort been going on?
I think the independence really started back in the late 1987, around there, when we first got the right to have the ability to prescribe medications. And so we obtained that permission within our scope of practice, within the supervision of the physician. But as we went along, it seemed forever until we could get the full prescribing ability. And in 2017, we were able to pass a bill to... We were the last state in the nation to pass this for nurse practitioners to prescribe controlled substances just because of the history of Florida and their problems with controlled substances. But nurse practitioners were not part of that. We are, and now we have in place good prescribing rules that makes this available. So we've been at this since 1987, trying to get the information out to legislators that we do not need supervision. The very first state in the country that had full practice authority for a nurse practitioner was 1971 in the Midwest. And if you see where all the states are that have full practice authority for nurse practitioners, the number's growing. There's 23 states now. Two other states have just a transition into practice kind of clause, which means you're going to be supervised as a new graduate for so many hours before you can then hang out your shingle as an independent nurse practitioner.
So you mentioned Representative Pigman from Sebring. Tell me about him. Why he's an MD. Why does he support this idea of making allowing nurse practitioners to be independent?
Well, because he's worked very closely with nurse practitioners and sees what we can do and what we can bring to the table as far as providing access and health care to Floridians, especially in his area. He's in a rural area. So he knows that there's a shortage of primary care providers, and he sees those patients who can't, who have no access to primary care providers go into the ER. So he sees the need for that. And, you know, we have a study from 2018 that shows that eliminating these restrictions would, say, be responsible to save our healthcare system about $968 million to $9 billion. And there's quite a few other important entities that are supporting this, including the White House. Their report, Reforming America's Healthcare System Through Choice and Competition, seeks to eliminate any kind of restrictions on nurse practitioners. And even the Federal Trade Commission has gotten involved and said that the scope of practice restrictions on nurse practitioners results in an increase in costs and prohibits free trade and competition.
Mm-hmm. Has the bill passed the House before?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
But it's never passed the Florida Senate?
No.
Okay. You talked about saving money somewhere between $900 million and you said $9
billion? Mm-hmm.
So that's because people wait too long, they don't have access to health care, and they end up going to the emergency room instead of getting something simple fixed.
Exactly.
The simple problem progresses into something worse.
Exactly.
Becomes catastrophic.
Yeah.
And that's where we can help.
Yeah. So if you catch it in time, you don't have to go to the emergency room.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this bill is House Bill 607.
Yes.
If people support this idea, what should they be doing?
I think the greatest thing that we can ask everyone to do is write the senators. The House understands the need of Dr. Pigman's bill. They have heard it for the last 8 years on the floor. It's been passed. We're pretty sure it will pass in the House again when the final vote comes out, but we just can't get past the Senate. And for whatever reason, they have misunderstanding of what the role is. We're here to tell them we are safe providers. We are cost-effective. We can do many things in primary care that are not getting done now. Just use us. And we can bring Florida up in the healthcare ranks. Right now, we're pretty low on the totem pole.
And what do you say to somebody that says, well, I don't want to go to a nurse practitioner. I want to go to an MD. And you've covered this a little bit earlier, but you know, somebody says, I don't want to go to a nurse practitioner. I'd rather wait until I get somebody that has that MD degree.
Well, we're all for patient choice, and that's what nurse practitioners are about. Many times, to have quicker access, they will offer a patient to see the nurse practitioner in an office or in a setting. And you know what? We come out and they say, we really enjoy that. We never learned so much about our illness or how to take care of ourselves than when we saw the nurse practitioner. We take the time with them. That's our nursing role. That's when we're going to explain things. And it's a better model, we think, for many people who need this kind of care.
Is there anything else I should have asked you about this in this effort to pass HB 607, which is the independent practice bill for nurse practitioners?
Well, I think the misnomer out there is that we are supervised. Even though the law says this, and it has said, we changed our practice act to include advanced practice nurses in 1976, and it hasn't changed since then. We had a joint advisory committee that included nursing and physicians for a long time, and when we got the Controlled Substance Authority, that was removed. So we don't have the joint board. And what we're asking is, let our board of nursing regulate our practice and how we do it. They know best what nurse practitioners do. Physicians are great. We work together. It's a collaboration on all players in the healthcare system. Let us do ours. We're the only profession that is regulated to work under another profession as it is now.
And the studies show the outcomes are just as safe under nurse practitioners as they are under MDs or DOs.
We have thousands of studies since the 70s that have been done from Columbia University, New York University, and all the major university settings that show equal, if not better. So it's not anything that we have to worry about, nurse practitioners being independent in the role. It's time.
And I think the other point that needs to be made is there will be no changes in the nurse practice acts as far as what we can do and our scope of practice. Our scope of practice is based, just like every other healthcare profession, on our education, our training, legislative issues, statutes, et cetera, rules and regulations. That's not going to change. The only thing that's going to change is that we have to be supervised by a physician. So it doesn't mean we're going to go out and do brain surgery, or we're going to go out and do things we're not trained for. It just means that we're going to do the things that we're trained for and do it without this supervision, which really impedes access to care for all Floridians. And I think that's the big thing. We know with this coming, there's already a dire physician shortage in the state of Florida. It's only going to get worse. And we're here to help. We want to help, but we kind of have our hands tied in this case.
Well, Janet Dubois and Gene Erchker, thank you very much for coming by WMNF.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, there are two local nurse practitioners who are trying to get a bill passed in Tallahassee to allow nurse practitioners to operate independently from doctors. The bill is HB 607 in the House. And my guests were Gene Erchker and Janet Dubois. Both hold a doctorate of nursing practice. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's talk about the impeachment trial that began yesterday in the U.S. Senate. It went on for hours. The Senate passed Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's resolution laying out a blueprint for President Donald Trump's impeachment trial along party lines early this morning after a day of back and forth between House prosecutors and attorneys representing the White House. The Republican majority had voted down several amendments proposed by Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to subpoena documents and to call witnesses. The vote came just before 2 a.m. this morning, after Congressman Jerry Nadler of New York, one of the House impeachment managers, suggested that senators were voting for a cover-up. That drew sharp response from the president's legal counsel. Let's listen in to a report from the Associated Press about the vote early this morning.
Opening arguments are set to begin in President Trump's impeachment trial without an agreement on witnesses being called, despite Democratic efforts to subpoena key figures in the Trump administration. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer spent hour after hour trying to get Republican senators to agree to subpoena the White House, the State Department, and other entities about President Trump's pressure campaign against Ukraine.
The real test will be witnesses and documents.
House impeachment manager Adam Schiff says the GOP promise to vote later on witnesses is really a ruse.
A vote to delay is a vote to deny. Let's make no mistake about that. They're not going to have an epiphany a few days from now.
White House counsel Pat Cipollone says the Democrats have no case against President Trump.
They're asking you to use your office to remove your political opponent from the ballot. That's wrong.
Jackie Quinn, Washington.
All right, there was a report from the Associated Press. Now, it got kind of tense last night. Congressman Jerry Nadler said it was a cover-up, the way the vote occurred and what the vote resulted in. Chief Justice John Roberts admonished House members, the House managers and Trump's counsel in equal terms to remember that they're addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. Let's listen into a little bit of what Justice John Roberts said. He's presiding over the trial. This is what he said last night towards the end.
For me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. One reason it has earned that title is because its members avoid speaking in a manner and using language that is not conducive to civil discourse. In the 1905 Swain trial, a senator objected when one of the managers used the word pettifogging, and the presiding officer said the word ought not to have been used.
Chief Justice John Roberts, let's listen into what one of the president's defenders, Jay Sekulow, the attorney, said last night, and this is what led these remarks, and along with what Gerald Nadler said, whose voice we'll also hear during the segment. This is what led to the admonishment from the Chief Justice John Roberts. Let's listen in to more of last night's impeachment proceedings, late at night, last night, right here on 88.5 FM.
Chairman Nadler talked about treacherous. At about 12:10 a.m., January 22nd, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, at this body, on the floor of this Senate, said executive privilege and other nonsense. Now think about that for a moment. Executive privilege and other nonsense. Mr. Nadler, it is not nonsense. These are privileges recognized by the Supreme Court of the United States. And to shred the Constitution on the floor of the Senate, to serve what purpose? The Senate is not on trial. The Constitution doesn't allow what just took place. Look what we've dealt with for the last now 13 hours. And we hopefully are closing the proceedings, but not on a very high note. Only guilty people try to hide evidence. So I guess when President Obama instructed his attorney general to not give information, he was guilty of a crime. That's the way it works, Mr. Nadler? Is that the way you view the United States Constitution? Because that's not the way it was written. That is not the way it's interpreted, and there's not the way the American people should have to live. I'll tell you what's treacherous. Come to the floor of the Senate and say executive privilege and other nonsense. We yield the rest of our time.
The managers have 27 minutes remaining.
And here, Jerry Nadler, the Democratic congressman from New York, takes the stand and begins to make remarks.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the Senate, the President's counsel has no standing to talk about lying. He told his body today, the President has told his body and told the American people repeatedly, for example, that the House of Representatives refused to allow the President due process. I told you, and it's available, public document, November 26th letter from me as chairman of the Judiciary Committee to the president, offering him due process, offering witnesses, offering cross-examination. A few days later, we received a letter from Mr. Cipollone on White House stationery that said, no, we have no interest in appearing. So on the one hand, they're lying because the House is condemned by the president for not giving him due process after they rejected the offer of due process. That letter rejecting it was December 1st. The president's counsel says that the House should have issued subpoenas. We did issue subpoenas. The president, you may recall, you should recall, said he would oppose all subpoenas. And he did. So many of those subpoenas are still being fought in court. Subpoenas issued last April. So that's also untrue. And it's a heck of a nerve to criticize the House for not issuing subpoenas when the president said he would oppose all subpoenas, and we've issued a lot of subpoenas, and he opposes all of them, and they're tied up in court. The president claims, and most members of this body know better, executive privilege, which is a limited privilege, which exists, but not as a shield, not as a shield against wrongdoing, as the Supreme Court specifically said in the Nixon case in 1973-74. The president claims absolute immunity. Mr. Cipollone wrote some of those letters, saying that the president, not only saying that the president, but that nobody that he doesn't want should testify. And then they have the nerve, and that is a violation of the constitutional rights of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and of the American people as represented through them. It's an assertion of a kingly prerogative, a monarchical prerogative. Only the president has rights, and the people as represented in Congress cannot get information from the executive branch at all. This body has committees. It has a 200-year record of issuing subpoenas, of having the administration of the day testify, of sometimes having subpoena fights. But no president has ever claimed the right to stonewall Congress on everything. Period. Congress has no right to get information. The American people have no right to get information. That, in fact, is Article 2 of the impeachment that we have voted. It is beyond belief that the president claims monarchical powers. I can do whatever I want under Article 2, says he, and then acts on that. Defies everything. Defies the law to withhold aid from Ukraine. Defies the law in a dozen different directions all the time. And lies about it all the time. And says to Mr. Cipollone here to lie about it. These facts are undeniable. Undeniable.
Democrat Jerry Nadler, last night, in the early hours of this morning, answering...
President Trump wants to block...
Answering charges from the president's defenders there on the floor of the Senate. And my question to you is, how fair... Or have things been so far? What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Under the terms of the organizing resolution that was passed early this morning, the House case managers will have 24 hours over 3 days to make their arguments to remove the president from office on charges of abuse of power and obstructing Congress. Attorneys for the White House likewise will have 24 hours over 3 days to state their case for acquitting the president. Senators will then have 16 hours to submit questions to both sides before they decide whether or not to call witnesses or subpoena documents. The plan proposed by Senator McConnell of Kentucky has been opposed by Democrats who wanted a guarantee that they would be able to call witnesses and demand documents that the administration has withheld during the House impeachment inquiry. And so far, how fair do you think the process has been? Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go back to yesterday and hear part of the debate. First, we're going to hear from the Democratic House impeachment managers, Adam Schiff and Val Demings, laying out some of the reasons they thought that President Trump should be impeached.
The American people want a fair trial. They want to believe their system of government is still capable of rising to the occasion. They want to believe that we can rise above party and do what's best for the country, but a great many Americans don't believe that will happen. Let's prove them wrong. Let's prove them wrong. When you hear them attack the House managers, what you're really hearing is, we don't want to talk about the president's guilt. We don't want to talk about the McConnell resolution and how patently unfair it is. We don't want to talk about how, pardon the expression, ass backwards it is to have a trial and then ask for witnesses. And so we'll attack the House managers because maybe we can distract you for a moment.
See, as a career law enforcement officer, I have never seen anyone take such extreme steps to hide evidence allegedly proving his innocence. And I do not find that here today. The president is engaged in this cover-up because he is guilty, and he knows it.
We are ready. The House calls John Bolton. The House calls John Bolton. The House calls Mick Mulvaney. Let's get this trial started, shall we? We are ready to present our case. We are ready to call our witnesses. The question is, will you let us?
Adam Schiff and Val Demings, two of the Democrats making the case for impeachment yesterday. Let's listen to some more of yesterday's discussion. We'll hear from President Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, right now, saying that the testimony given to the House Intelligence Committee previously already shows that President Trump did nothing wrong by withholding aid to Ukraine.
Ambassador Sondland actually testified unequivocally that the president did not tie aid to investigations. Instead, that he acknowledged any leak he had suggested was based entirely on his own speculation, unconnected to any conversation with the president. Ambassador Sondland also testified that he asked President Trump directly about these issues, and the president explicitly told them that he did not want anything from Ukraine. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing.
That was Jay Sekulow, who represents the president in the impeachment trial. He's one of several defenders of the president that will make statements on the Senate floor. And WMNF will continue its coverage of the impeachment at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're carrying the impeachment trial live on our HD3 channel. That's at 1 o'clock this afternoon when the trial resumes. How fair so far do you think that the process has been? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. One of the other defenders of the president is Pat Cipollone, who's an attorney. He's a White House counsel. We're going to hear from him right now. This is what he said yesterday on the Senate floor, and this was referred to later on. We heard one of our newsmakers refer to it, but let's listen to what Pat Cipollone said yesterday defending the president. All right, looks like we may not be able to get that. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. How fair has the process been so far? And let's go to Rena in St. Petersburg. Hi, Rena, you're on WMNF.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This whole process had been fair because the president does need to be accountable for what he has publicly said he's done, him and some of his people. It has been unfair because the opposition, the Democratic Party, has been hindered on their investigation. They keep holding documents, keep holding witnesses, and that's not the right way to conduct any trial. Now, I don't think the Republican party cares a whole lot because all they want is to win. They're playing this for their people, and they know that if they lose, one day they're going to go back to power because we only have two parties to vote for. So eventually, even if they lose, they're going to go back to being power. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
All right, Rena, thanks a lot. Rena, thank you. 813-239-9663. It sounds, though, Rena, like you're saying, though, that it's not a fair process. Let's listen to a White House counsel and lead Trump lawyer, Pat Cipollone, claiming during the Senate trial yesterday that Republicans were barred from attending the House impeachment inquiry's closed-door hearing in the secure room in the basement of the Capitol. Let's listen to what White House counsel Pat Cipollone said yesterday.
It's very difficult to sit there and listen to Mr. Schiff tell the tale that he just told. Let's remember how we all got here. They made false allegations about a telephone call. The President of the United States declassified that telephone call and released it to the public. How's that for transparency? When Mr. Schiff found out that there was nothing to his allegations, he focused on the second telephone call. He made false, and his colleagues made false allegations about that second telephone call that occurred before the one he had demanded. So the President of the United States declassified and released that telephone call. Still nothing. Again, complete transparency in a way that, frankly, I'm unfamiliar with any precedent of any president of the United States releasing a classified telephone call with a foreign leader. When Mr. Schiff saw that his allegations were false, and he knew it anyway, what did he do? He went to the House. And he manufactured a fraudulent version of that call. He manufactured a false version of that call. He read it to the American people, and he didn't tell them it was a complete fake. Do you want to know about due process? I'll tell you about due process. Never before in the history of our country has a president been confronted with this kind of impeachment proceeding in the House. It wasn't conducted by the Judiciary Committee. Now, Mr. Nadler, when he applied for that job, told his colleagues when they took over the House that he was really good at impeachment. But what happened was the proceedings took place in a basement of the House of Representatives. The president was forbidden from attending. The president was not allowed to have a lawyer present. In every other impeachment proceeding, the president has been given a minimal due process. Nothing here. Not even Mr. Schiff's Republican colleagues were allowed into the skiff. Information was selectively leaked out.
So that's one of the president's counsel, the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, claiming during the Senate trial yesterday that Republicans were barred from attending the House impeachment inquiry's closed-door hearing in the SCIF room, the Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility in the basement of the Capitol. It's a secure facility. It turns out, though, that there were at least a dozen Republican lawmakers sitting in during the SCIF meeting. They were there. Now, why he said that, I don't know. But so far, how fair has this process been? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Carl in Clearwater. Hi, Carl, you're on. How fair do you think this process has been so far?
Hey, Rob. To me, it's disgusting, the whole thing. It's pretty obvious what went down, But the one lady that called in, I just wanted to say, you know, political parties have come and gone in the United States. And if you look at demographics and you look at what's been going on with the Republican Party, you know, there's a real good chance they're going to be minimalized in the next, you know, 10, 12 years as the baby boomers die off. And the other comment I have is just the ability to borrow $1 trillion a year, the level of corruption in our government is just off the chart.
And Carl, just anyway, going back to the topic, though, how fair do you think the process has been so far?
Oh, well, absolutely fair. But, you know, the Senate, I mean, when you can stand there in front of the Supreme Court judge and just openly lie, I mean, I don't know what you can say after that. I mean, they're just brazen. They're just brazen liars. And I think the process has been very fair. And, you know, there's been enough information to substantiate all the claims of what Trump has done.
Do you think there should have been a vote last night to require that witnesses be brought forward?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that's not going to happen. And, you know, the people that could come forward and really make a difference, you know, Trump and his attorneys will try to make sure they can't show up. And it's just, the whole thing is criminal. It's just,
okay.
It's,
well, Carl, I find it interesting that you say the process has been fair, and yet you disagree with the fact that no witnesses are being brought forward. But, Carl, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at 88.5 FM. And we've got a bunch of emails that have come in. Frank's in Sarasota. He called in. Hey, Frank, has the process so far been fair?
Yeah, I was having trouble with what Carl was saying there, too. No, of course the process is not fair, and it's rigged. And it has been rigged, and will be rigged from the beginning to the end, and Trump will be found not guilty, and, you know, the country will try and move on from there. I found it interesting that, you know, the big pile of steaming bull Trump there that Cipollone was putting out about how nobody was allowed in the skiff, and even during the opening hearings there in the House, they invited Trump, you know, to come and testify right there in House on the floor.
Well, yeah, when Cipollone, my memory is vague on that, but I thought they did invite the president to come down.
Absolutely they did. You know, they invite anybody who wanted to show up. Mulvaney, anybody from the Trump administration.
Why would Cipollone say that? I mean,
well, he's a liar.
Well,
It's hard to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he may have a chance to correct himself when he goes.
Perhaps he will. I don't know. And I wouldn't be so sanguine about Bolton coming up there and testifying either. I'm not really sure. I think it's a slippery slope. I think Bolton is a warmonger, and he wants a war in Iran. I think Trump is ready to give him one, and I think he'll get up there and maybe perjure himself, or at least, you know, hop, skip, and jump around the whole topic and not answer the questions. And all because he wants to overthrow the regime in Iran.
Yeah, he got something out of President Trump when the president killed the leader of al-Quds.
Right, exactly. He thought there was more on the horizon.
If, I mean, one theory is that Bolton is holding the information, he wants to sell it in his book. Would you buy that book just to get that information?
Probably not. I might take it out of the library, but I certainly wouldn't pay $30.
All right. Frank, thanks a lot. Thank you for your phone call. I'm just asking you, so far during this impeachment process, has it been fair? And you can comment about, if you want, the House vote on impeachment. But I'm more curious, too, about so far what's happened in the Senate since yesterday at 1 o'clock. And let's go to Bob in Kenneth City. Hey, Bob, you're on WMNF.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to briefly say that I'm just appalled by the whole scenario that's going on right now. And I do not think this trial is, how can you even call it fair when they're basically, the Republican leaders, McConnell and some of the others, have already said that they know they're going to vote before they even hear the testimony, and they're not going to allow, if they don't allow witnesses, I mean, It's just a farce. And it's like, you know the results before they even go into it. I think it's just appalling. And I'm afraid our whole democracy and our justice system is just eroding away with all this misinformation that's being put out, and the way they bend the truth. And it's very sad day, I think, in our country.
Yeah. Bob, how do you think the Republicans will play it if it ends up being that there are no witnesses called? What do you think their defense will be?
They keep saying the same things over and over. He did nothing wrong. Everything was fine. It's not a criminal act. They twist the truth and they just repeat it over and over. They take a playbook out of Trump's book of plays, I guess you could say, where it seems like he's found that if you repeat something enough times and there's a touch of truth in it, and you change it and twist it around, that they'll believe it.
All right, Bob. Bob, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. All right, good to hear from you. I'm just asking a question, whether or not you think the process of impeachment has been fair so far. Tom writes this, Cipollone et al. Are pettifogging, using the word that got a previous impeachment trial in trouble. Cipollone et al. Are pettifogging the whole process with lies and falsehoods. Tom goes on to say, very sad to witness it. It's like a meeting of cult members, writes Tom. Thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And Forrest is in Land O'Lakes, and Forrest says, here's a YouTube link to a brief clip of my favorite moment of yesterday's proceeding. This is the moment when Hakeem Jeffries, the congressman, so beautifully and masterfully claps back, as the kids say, to Trump's counsel, Jay Sekulow's question of, why are we here? Jeffries' response builds strongly and ends by referencing a well-known, notorious big lyric. It would be great if you could please play this clip. Okay, Forrest, I might try to play it, but the priority right now is phones, people calling in on the phone. Let's go to Dale in Newport Richey. Hey, Dale, you're on MNF.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Taking my call. Hello.
Yeah, we're waiting for you. What would you like to say, Dale?
Here's what I want to say. I am surprised that everyone hasn't called the senators. Let them know how unhappy you are. Let them know how unfair this process is. Appeal to them to show some leadership. Otherwise, this will reflect very badly on them, and we will vote them out.
All right. Well, Dale, do you have the phone number for the senators handy?
No, I don't have the phone. I do it online myself.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. That's true. All right, Dale, thanks a lot. You know, we have two senators who are in there.
Lockstep.
And, right. They, so far, Senator Scott and Senator Rubio are pretty much in lockstep with the president.
I thought that perhaps we could appeal to Marco Rubio to please show some leadership. We know he doesn't like Trump. Come on. Show some leadership. Step out.
All right, Dale, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, great to hear from you. And let's go to Tim in Tampa. Hey, Tim, you're on MNF.
Yeah, thank you. I watched about 3 hours of it last night from like 9 to 12. And I think the biggest thing we can get from this, the civic lesson, is that this system is broken. We have this perception that our Constitution and our three houses of government are going to check and balance each other. Now we see it does not work. The American people, the only way we can really get over this is make fair. I'm trying to figure out what Judge Roberts, what is he doing up there? A monkey can do that. You know, just making sure they follow the procedure. He's a waste. It should be more like a trial where he allow witnesses or not let witnesses, not the senators, even though they get the vote. But he should be the one to say what evidence they let in and what they don't. I don't understand his role other than being a robot or a monkey up there. So to me, it's totally unfair. And the best civic lesson is that this system is broke.
All right. right. Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you. I think Roberts is there to kind of keep the peace. You're right. He can't really force a witness to be heard because he doesn't have enough votes. He doesn't have the power to vote. It takes 51 votes of the Senate to make witnesses appear. Let's go to Fran in Largo. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Oh, just not too much, Rob. It just gets me that the other day, Monday, all those people at the Virginia State Capitol out there demonstrating for their gun rights, their precious gun rights, and yet nobody's demonstrating about this at the Capitol, are they? People, it's the people's work that has to be done, this impeachment. People should be out there demonstrating, marching with signs about this. It just, there's such low interest in this, and yet it's so very important to our democracy. That's all I want to say.
Okay, Fran, thanks a lot. You know, every time I'm in D.C., I do see people demonstrating about something. There is always a demonstration, it seems, going on. It could be just one or two people, but there's always some, seems to be some gathering, especially around the White House. Kevin writes this, it's been said that the truth is a very elusive thing. As for determining fairness, it requires a healthy skepticism of the information presented, and that keeps me screaming to bring in the witnesses, or it cannot be fair without witnesses, writes Kevin. Kevin, thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones, and I'm just asking whether or not you think the impeachment process so far has been fair. Clark is our phone producer today. Thank you, Clark. And let's go to Kevin, who's in Tampa. Another Kevin. Kevin, you're on. What would you like to say? Hi, Kevin. You're on WMNF. You're live on the air. Hi, Kevin. All right.
Are you talking to me?
Well, is your name Kevin?
No, it's Joseph.
Joseph. All right, Joseph. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. All right. No, it was live. Sorry. So I just wanted to say that, no, I don't believe that the impeachment hearing is fair because of the Republicans. But I would also like to say to the public that, you know, when you're basically going to indict somebody, when the state or anybody is going to bring charges against somebody, they usually wait until they have several charges. I think we cut off our nose to spite our face on this, because I believe by the time he's done with his first term, we...
Kevin?
Yes.
We missed the last thing you said.
I said that I believe that if we would have waited till his first term was done, we could have indicted him for several different things, and we wouldn't necessarily have to go through the process where the Republicans are holding, you know, the rules. So I believe that in this moment, it's not going to happen the way that it should, the way things should be, and they haven't been the way they should be since he was elected. And I thank you for your time.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Drive safely. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Do you think the Democrats should have waited? I mean, knowing that the president allegedly told Ukraine to dig up dirt on his political rival, should the Democrats just have kind of held their fire and not brought up the articles of impeachment? What do you think? Let's go to Michael in Tampa, I think. Michael, you're on MNF.
Yes, sir. I just believe the whole trial is going to be a waste of our money. It has been from the start. They've been looking out to get Trump since the beginning of his election. You know, we still live in a free country. The senators are saying, call them as witnesses. Hey, we still have the Fifth Amendment in this country. You know, you can plead the Fifth and walk away from that. So how are you going to convict somebody that's trying to do something for our country?
Would it be helpful? Do you think it would be helpful, though, to hear from witnesses so we got the whole picture?
Well, personally, I think it's a waste of our money. They've been trying to waste our money year after year to get this man out of that office.
Do you think that we know everything that went on with Ukraine? You think that we've got a really complete picture?
My dad fought for this country. You know what? That man ain't committed treason or anything else. He's doing a great job, as I'm concerned. I'm doing better than I've ever did in my life. I'm 57 years old.
Yeah, Michael.
I've never had nothing, and now I got something.
Yeah, you know, my dad fought for this country too, but my dad would say he would want the whole picture because that's what he fought for.
You know what? What picture are we looking for? Why are we trying to divide this country? It's been divided for years. We've already fought the Civil War. Why are we trying to fight it again?
But do you think that the president might have gone to Ukraine to dig up phony dirt on Joe Biden?
You know what? I'm a neutral person. I ain't Democrat or Republican. I'm in the middle. How come they can't work together to get on the same page for this country in the middle?
All right, Michael, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Good to hear from you. Well, we're at the end of the show. If you want to comment, you can comment about today's show by calling 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks to Clark. She's our phone producer today. In the next hour, NOLA is going to be discussing the impeachment trial. And remember, it resumes again today at 1 o'clock, and we'll have it on our HD3 channel, The Source.